Before we dive in, can I ask you to share a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to become a flatologist?
Okay, well, thank you for inviting me, first of all. As I said, anyone wants to speak about my favorite subject, I'm always willing. Maybe I should be careful, but yes. Well, basically, so I come at this because I'm a social scientist, okay? I'm a social and cultural anthropologist, and basically we study behavior. And also, I left the US when I was 21, and I've been living in different countries ever since, traveling the world, you know, as do if you're a
Yeah,
cultural
absolutely.
anthropologist. And now I've been in London for the last 18 years,
Yeah.
which I'm still exploring different cultures and countries. But I guess it's this area of flirting, which of course I was and still am, even though I'm married to my lovely husband. It's an area that people often feel a bit vulnerable in. So what I've realized over these many years, it's been over 15 years since I've had my business, Flirtology, is I realized this area hits people in a lot of different ways. So for example, rejection
Absolutely.
or self-love. Are you giving yourself enough self-love? You know, what do other people think of me? Also sexuality and attraction. Do you find me sexually attractive? Some people have difficulty going from the friend to flirt because that vulnerability, I don't mind if you reject me as a friend, but so it just hits all of these. And also it's exciting. It's an exciting, if you do it right, wow,
Yes.
like
Yeah.
what a great encounter. So I try and help people through these different ways to just basically come empowered. That's what it's about now.
That's so important, so important. And I'm glad you touched on that because my next question is, why do you think people fundamentally find it so difficult? Is it that feeling of vulnerability and rejection? Why do we find it so icky to flirt?
About rejection. So the way
Yeah.
that I discuss it is what we're not told is that being in the flirting arena is not the place to find your self-confidence value. And away from the flirting arena. That's called self-development. It's called
Yeah.
self-awareness. It's called being conscious. We do this away, then fill ourselves, then we go into the flirting arena, and that's where the fun is. It's about, am I good enough? Is this person gonna like me? It's more like, I know I'm good enough because I've been working hard on it. Let's see who I match with. And
Right.
that friends, it's not, am I good enough to people like me? Then it just becomes practical. Let's see who I match with. I won't match with everyone. Let's see who I do.
It's so important. And how would you define flirting?
Well,
There's so
about
much
this, my
information, isn't there? Sorry, Jean,
a
there's
lot.
so much information out there and it confuses us. It feels a lot of it is quite surface level, quite superficial about tactics and game playing. But what is the real definition?
So again, that's why I love coming at this area as a social anthropologist. So I've actually used methodologies grounded in something really important rather than one person's opinion. Oh, you should try this. I did this once. Or
Absolutely.
it's a deep subject. And the idea of flirting seems very, you know, like superficial and like, ooh, flirting. But as I mentioned, straight into our conversation, it's so much deeper. People, what was the question then?
How would you define it?
Okay. So again, I actually have some academic answers and some grounding. In my first book, I asked 250 people this question in the culture. Well, I went to the cities of Stockholm, New York, London, and Paris, and I wrote my first book on some of these answers. So I actually have the research. And what I found, and this is the problem, Maria, is that like, everyone has a different answer as to flirting is, especially linked to culture. So like in Paris, it was a game. Don't actually show your true self. Where in Stockholm, they took it very seriously. One woman said, you better choose wisely because you will be stuck.
Wow.
The New Yorkers are just like, oh, it's just playful fun, a way to pass it. So it really varies.
And how about in London?
Okay. So in London, especially the guys, because I interviewed men and women, they were a bit wary of flirting. It was almost like they didn't really trust people flirting. So that's kind of the main thing I remembered. And then the women would kind of change it when I said, do you flirt? They said, well, I try and be charming. So of course, charming is without the sexual undertones that flirting might be perceived as.
Okay. So to answer that then, the definition, we can define it for ourselves, would you say? Depending on how we feel.
Basically, quite recently, it's become so apparent to me. So as I said, I'm happily married for like 9 years. That doesn't mean that I don't still flirt. And for me, flirting is being playful. I sort of have the attitude, who wants to play? And if once in a while I met with a bit of coldness or someone doesn't want to play with me, which I guess would be called rejection, although I don't see it like that.
Right.
That's fine. Okay. They don't want to play with me. Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
See who does.
Absolutely. I think that's such a healthy approach, isn't it? And again, as you said, it's, yeah. And it stems back to just having that inner confidence from not to take so personally, just to see it as a game. So how important is it in terms of attracting a life partner? What are our chances of attracting a life partner if we don't flirt?
Here is where things get really interesting. interesting and even more confusing. Because what I'm starting to recognize after 15 years of studying this is that it's almost like if we have an initial attraction to someone, we've just made things so much harder for everybody. And also, it's not necessarily a very good gauge to be a good match for us or not.
Right.
I mean, it's a great gauge. You know, if you're looking for something physical or something short term, if you don't have history or you're not attracted, what's the point? This is where it's a different situation. If we're looking for a partner, don't assume that we're going to have this immediate attraction. And I can vouch for this because my husband was my Pilates student and he came to my every Thursday night and I was not attracted to him. He's shorter than me.
Yeah.
I mean, English, you know, I'm used to date. I was seeing all the, you know, the South Americans, Iranians, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was not initially attracted, but wow, we have a lot of attraction now. Oh. And that's what people don't realize is it can come later.
Absolutely. That lasting chemistry develops over time. Absolutely.
And one other, sorry, but Marie, one other point is I often hear my clients say, like, for example, I do different events or a wing person night. And my clients are both men and women, which I think is really exciting.
Yes.
How many men are really open and wanting to learn a different way, but that's another subject. But so especially with the female clients, we'll go into a bar or wherever and they say, I don't see anyone here that I like. Well, you're a coach. You can understand why
Absolutely.
That's a problem. But what happens is when we immediately look up and designate that someone's attractive or not, does that make it easier to speak to that person if we've already decided I like them? No, it makes it much harder, right?
Absolutely.
So if by some miracle we end up speaking with them, do we always find, in fact, we're still attracted to them? So I sort of say, let's change the bar at which we decide that we like someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's after we ask every single person or as many as we can one question. Because the reverse is also true, Maria, is how often do we not notice someone and then we start speaking with them like, wow, quite attractive. So pressure is the enemy of flirting. Mm-hmm. Anything we do to make situations just pressure-free and full of fun, that's what we do. And one of those important things is changing the point at which we decide like someone or someone
Absolutely.
Is attractive.
That's so true. That's so true. I tell my clients that they can meet somebody anywhere, even in the supermarket. And in fact, it happened to one of my clients last week and she messaged me to say, you always said I could even meet somebody in a supermarket and it happened, you know, she bumped into somebody and she just smiled. She just smiled and they ended up talking, you know, so I agree with that.
It's about being open. It's not necessarily even, oh, if I flirt, I can attract a partner. I need to be open. And this isn't just for women. My advice is to women and men.
Yes.
When we're open, we're so more approachable.
Absolutely.
And I just had a wing person event last week. And again, I say wing person because it's comprised of men and women. And I say to them, don't go for people that you find attractive. Go for people who have open body language, who look like if you approach them, they're going to be up for a chat.
Mm-hmm.
You can really stack the odds in your favor by first just looking at who has open shoulders, who's looking around, who has open arms, who's smiling. And this goes for networking and breaking into groups. This is across all borders. Talk to those people.
Yeah. What are other mistakes that we make besides having closed body language? What have you noticed in terms of the flirting mistakes men and women make?
Yeah. I'll tell you the biggest one, and that is believing what our mind says.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, often have, you know, have you looked over, seen someone, maybe they're even smiling at you and you think, oh, wow. Oh, okay. Maybe I should go over and talk to them. And then the next minute, boom, your mind takes over. Oh, no. No, they weren't smiling at you. No, if you go over, they're going to think you're crazy. No. And then, so we do nothing. So we're stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my mental models that I have people use is don't think, just go.
Yeah, perfect.
If your heart's working and taking over, you're not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's not even true. It's just, sometimes mine is like a self-indulged child who won't get ice cream. I mean, it's just something made up.
I love that description. Any other mistakes?
I think another one is sort of placing too much on the interaction. For example, one of my clients could only talk to men who had potential. Therefore, she wasn't just like making connections with people in everyday life. Also, that's a lot of pressure for some guy who just walks up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like potential or not potential. Even if he had potential, it's like, whoa, slow down. Just, you know, it's just baby steps. And again, this helps take pressure off the flirting, is if we just think here's a human to human having an interaction. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful. What would be your top tips in terms of how to get comfortable and confident with flirting and also how to identify if somebody's flirting with you?
Yeah, sure. So in my research, I found that there were 6 ways that people said that they would flirt with someone and also ways that they understood when someone was flirting them.
Right.
So I did an acronym called HOT 8 and I've done a TEDx talk on this.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
Yes.
I believe I did that 2.5 years ago, like forever ago.
Anyways, I loved it.
Thank you. Well, so I created this acronym because when people are in a situation when they're flirting, what I've discovered is often they feel kind of nervous, especially if they like a person.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can do is you can draw on these 6 signs, HOT 8, which I'll go over briefly in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to, you can just sort sort of, okay, are they doing this? Are they doing that? Are they doing that? In fact, a client and one of her friends went out to just chat with people. And the client relayed the story back to me later. Her friend said, I'm going to go hot ape that guy over there. Sounds brilliant, right? Comes back a few minutes later and she's a bit kind of down. So my client said, well, what happened? And she's like, did you hot ape him? Well, yeah, they went through the list. I know. Went through the list. And so H is humor. Did you use humor? Yeah. O is open body language. Were you having open body language? You weren't crossing your arms, were you? She's like, no, they were open. Well, T is for touch. Well, did you like tap his hand or maybe give him a tap on the shoulder? Mm-hmm. No. She's like, oh, T. And then they started laughing. They're like, oh, no wonder. It just turns it into a fun game, you know? So that's the hot humor, open body language, mm-hmm. touch. Mm-hmm. And then the A is attention. Like how much attention are they giving you versus mm-hmm. other people? Mm-hmm. Proximity. How close are they standing to you?
Right.
Or if first you see them across the room and then all of a sudden they're very near you, don't assume that's a coincidence.
Right.
And then E is for eye contact. And this was number one way that people, out of 250 people, everyone said eye contact. Mm-hmm. The Parisians had like a million ways to describe eye contact, which I thought was hilarious. But yeah, it's about the eyes. No surprise there.
Yeah, definitely. How long should somebody hold the eye contact with a man or a woman they're interested in?
I'd say 3 seconds.
3 seconds. Yeah. Right. Okay.
1, 2, 3, and then look away.
Right.
And then do it again.
Right. Perfect. That's so nice. So it's just a matter of practicing, I think, isn't it? Just easing into it. Baby steps, as you said.
Yeah, there's different levels that I've realized about this flirting thing. The first thing is actually taking a look at our mental models. I mean, mm-hmm. if we think that, if I flirt, I'll be considered easy. You know, flirting is women shouldn't flirt or any other mental models or beliefs is another way to say it that we have.
Yeah.
I could tell you 20 different tips on how to flirt and it wouldn't make a difference.
Absolutely.
If you fundamentally have that belief, you're not going to get very far. The thing is, we don't often realize because these beliefs have sometimes been passed down to us from mm-hmm. our mothers mm-hmm. or our friends mm-hmm. and we might not even necessarily agree with it. Mm-hmm. But the first thing is sort of like shaking us up and getting all these beliefs out in the open so we can actually have a look at what's happening.
Mm-hmm. I was really interested that you actually go into businesses and you teach communication, flirting. Can you tell me more about that? How does that apply in business situations?
Yeah. So my business is the science of flirting and the art of interaction. Mm-hmm. And they go together really well. A lot of the advice about even rejection or clear communication or setting down boundaries, your mm-hmm. personal boundaries and self-love. It encapsulates all areas of our life. So what I do with businesses, in fact, I was just working on this earlier this morning. Yeah, I've been just recently into Revlon at their sales conference. Because again, that's how to build rapport with your customers mm-hmm. so you sell better. Mm-hmm. And who else? Stella McCartney headquarters. And it also works to sort of help the teams bond. I didn't realize this at first. Sometimes when teams are on different floors and they don't even know each other, interaction that I create, they get to know each other. But everything is about clearly communicating, knowing where your boundaries are, but feeling free to speak up and say, hey, or feeling free to connect with each other. We mm-hmm. think, oh, I don't want to bother someone. Actually, would you like someone to be like, hey, what did you get up to this weekend? Or even something as simple as that. Mm-hmm. But we all don't want to bother people, but mm-hmm. yet we all want to be connected.
So I'd love for you to share with us, can you find love through dating apps? I do help my clients create online profiles and to make, you know, quality relationship sites work for them, to feel confident using it, just to increase their opportunities of connecting with quality men. What are your thoughts on it? Do they work? Is there a possibility of finding love online?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a possibility. The thing is, wherever we put our time and attention, if we put enough time and attention, get it. But that wouldn't be how I want to spend my time and attention, even if I were single. Like, is have a really filled, fun life, not have a part-time job. Because if you fill something like that out, your attention is going in front of your device. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten even more rebellious. I mean, I've deleted I'm not on any social media now. I've deleted WhatsApp. I'm tired of my life being run by my devices.
Right.
So I'm just like, I'm not participating, mm-hmm. which means I have more time to do what I like, choose who I spend time with after a bunch of stuff on a wall and whoever wants to pick up bits can. It's like, mm-hmm. so I'm more about the meaningful face-to-face communication. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what I would prefer to do is just sign up for interests, sign up for clubs, like mm-hmm. things I really want to do, not, mm-hmm. ooh, I'll do rock climbing because there might be men there. It's like, what do I want to do? Mm-hmm. Then when I'm there living my full happy life, that's when I start making the most of my opportunities. Everyone thinks it's, oh, I can't meet anyone. There's no one out there. All the good ones are taken. No, the better question is, what are you doing or not doing in your behavior that is stopping you from meeting people?
Absolutely.
I've come across this time and time again.
Me
so
too.
Yeah, exactly. Make a list with clients of what activities do you want to start doing? You know, what what talks, what lectures. And then I remember one woman came back and she's like, right, so I've done all that. I haven't met anyone. I haven't even talked to anyone. Okay, so what are you doing when you're there? Surprise, surprise, Maria, standing in the corner talking with her friend. So I had my own experience recently. I went to a friend's book launch. Mm-hmm. And I walked into this huge room, the Savoy Hotel ballroom. I wanted to go by myself because I thought, oh, there's going to be so many interesting people. And I walk in and everyone's in a group and everyone is talking. And I was like, oh, feeling a bit overwhelmed. And I thought, I haven't actually been in this situation in a very long time. I thought, well, that's fine. I teach people how to do this. I'll just start following my own advice. Let's see if it works. And so I thought, right, step one, there's a more natural place to begin speaking. So where might that be? The bar, right? That's fine. I'll just go stand at the bar and then say to someone standing next to me, oh, so how did you hear about tonight? Well, guess what? There was no bar. We're at a book launch. There must be another obvious place. Okay. The book table, by the way, my head part was money at this point. So I went over and I thought, okay, I'll speak with someone looking at the books. Well, there wasn't anyone there. And I thought, well, I know one person here, the author, and she's signing books. So I'll get in the queue. I got in the queue. The two women in front of me didn't really feel like talking. That's fine. But the woman behind me did. So we started talking. In fact, we've met for coffee twice since then. Like, she's also in the industry, really interesting woman. So I made my first like great contact. Saw my friend sign my book. And then I thought, I looked around the room. And again, everyone was in groups. By the way, I didn't follow my best piece of advice. And that's get there early. Because right. I know there's people there. There's like five people standing around. It's easy.
Yes.
But Jean, that's it. You've just got to dive in. You've got to break into a group. There's hide everything else. And so then I thought about my advice about the open body language. You need to look for groups that actually have a physical space. And so there was a group of three people, mixed gender, smiling, laughing, and there was a space just for me. So I just walked up and I said, you guys look like you're having fun. Join you.
Oh.
Like, yeah. And so it worked so well that I said, I'm going to try this again. So I did the same thing. And I said, oh, what's so funny? You guys are having fun. And this guy looked at me. He's like, Gene? I said, yeah. He said, it's me. Jake, he's my foreign rights agent. And it was like 5 months ago. And I put him down and made him sell my book rights to Germany. So it was great.
It's
so
great. Fantastic. Wow.
I learned, Maria, is like, we can do this wherever we are and we will be greatly rewarded, but we have to actually do something. Mm-hmm. We can't stand in a corner. And I won't even go on with the second half. Like, just opportunities kept coming the more that I just kept breaking away and starting. And by the way, this is all about practice. This part really is a skill.
Yes.
If we don't actually do it, then we can only rely on stories our mind makes up mm-hmm. about what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we just need to practice.
Absolutely. And it definitely takes a bit of courage just to be a little bit brave, but it has to be done, right?
Yes.
And it's so much fun connecting with new people in the meantime. Yeah. Wow. I could talk to you for hours, Jean. What can our listeners expect from your book? What more tips so that we
It's such a pleasure to have my book because it's a compilation of everything that I've learned, everything that someone once said on a flirting and walking tour, someone once said, it's all here in this book. And I think it's really useful. So it just goes through the deal breakers, which help you figure out what you're looking for in a partner. Where to go, mental models, how to change our behavior, flirting signs, rejection. It just covers everything.
All important stuff. That's wonderful. And I know on your website as well, you have some brilliant courses. For somebody who wants to begin building their flirting confidence, which one would you recommend them?
Well, actually, there's one coming up. I could be biased, but I think all my courses are good.
Yeah.
Hard to choose my favorite child. But I think any of them, if people just want to get more practice, the Fearless Flirting Tours are really useful because I say, you know, we get out of our minds and go on to the streets. And in a small group, we just practice approaching in day-to-day places. Like you said, you think you can meet someone anywhere. I do too.
Yeah.
So would we just actually go out there and try and see what happens?
Absolutely. That's been brilliant. Thank you so much, Jean, for being with us and sharing your insights. It's been fabulous.